What a message yesterday morning that God gave us about that shepherd being one. Going after that one little sheep. Preach to us, brother. I love you. Amen. You can be seated.
Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 19, and we'll read about four verses there, then drop down into chapter number 20. It is good to have several of my family connections. I love it when family comes to meeting. I love preaching to sinners. Nobody knows them as much as I do. And I are one of them. Well, I'm going to tell you, we've just had such a blessed time. And I can say that nobody talks down about this meeting to me.
Amen.
If they did, I'd just say, well, don't go. Because we don't want you here no way. Blessed place. I get to preach in many of your churches, Brother Ronnie, every year. And what an atmosphere there is there. And I love it. And I just tell folks, if they don't like what happens, just don't go. Because we don't want you there no way. But all that happens here comes out, the emphasis is out of Christ. That's the main emphasis. And I don't care how it gets there, but that's what needs to be the emphasis. I mean, if they're singing about Jesus, ain't nothing wrong with that. Preaching about Jesus, ain't nothing wrong with that. Shouting about Jesus, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't care how you get there, as long as you're getting to Jesus, I'm happy.
Amen, preacher.
And that's what has happened here this week. We're looking at this matter of the parables. The Lord has seemed to speak to my heart as to how that what he does is he takes the natural emphasis that is ordinary to our lives that we've been born into and can understand. But he wants us to see more than that. He wants us to see that there is the spiritual. But the only way to see the spiritual is through the natural. Everything we know about there, we learned right here. So I hope that you're not just seeing what you're seeing when you look out, when you look down at that pond.
Amen.
But you're seeing that there's much more to it than that. He shows him the natural, these parables, the natural world, the spiritual world. But then he lets us see ourselves and by way of application. He has taken that revelation and made application because somewhere in that parable, you're going to find you.
Yes, sir.
You may be the prodigal. You may be the elder brother. You may be the father waiting on a son to come home. But somewhere in there, he's going to let you see the importance of seeing you. But foremost, and most of all, he's going to let you see him.
Amen.
He's taking you to himself.
Amen.
And letting you see, as I preached yesterday, that he is the shepherd. He is the king. He is the father. He is the rock upon which the house is built. He's in there. You're going to find the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost, and sometimes all three. So let's look down into this parable. And I want us to see that natural, that spiritual, that personal world of your own so that we might see His world. And I'm going to call it a world of favor or a world of grace. It comes out of what Simon Peter says as a result of what Jesus said about the rich young man. He said it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. And Peter takes that and he ponders it. And we'll read in verse 27 how that he makes application to himself. But it is an application under contract. In other words, he's saying, Lord, we worked for you. What are we going to get out of it? What's going to be our part in this? And Jesus gives us this parable to show that Peter nor ourselves are to operate under contract with God. But we're to operate under the covenant of His grace. Verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? I feel like Peter's thinking pretty big right here. I mean, if you're going to make the statement you've forsaken all, then you're going to want quite a bit. You're expecting a lot. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone that hath forsaken houses and brethren and sisters and fathers and mothers and wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. But, here's the catch. Many that are first shall be last. And the last shall be first. And then he gives the parable. Let's look at it. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard. Notice this, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. In verse 2, he agreed with the workers. They're under covenant. Or under they're under contract. But in verse number 4, they're under covenant. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Well, they didn't ask for more. And they likewise received every man a penny. But they didn't get shafted. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Working under contract will get you mad. Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But you got what you asked for.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Has the Lord ever wronged you?
Never.
Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So, reiterated, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. I want us to look into this world, this parable that Jesus is bringing to basically Simon Peter. Those kind of Simon's almost, he's talking about almost like he signed a contract with the Lord.
Right.
He said, well, Lord, I've done this much. How much am I going to get? But when he did so, he stepped out of the world of favor and grace. Entitlement is the enemy, someone has said, of grace. Does not mean he's not going to get what God's going to give him. Just means that he's not going to appreciate it and sense it as a work of grace.
Amen.
I want to enjoy what God gives me. I want to be thankful for what God gives me. And I want to realize the truth of the matter is what all God gives me is not because of who I am, it's because of who he is. Because no matter what Simon Peter ever does, he doesn't do this through his own energy. It is the Lord that has done that. It is the Lord that saved you. It is the Lord that entered into you. It is the Lord that gave you of his Spirit. It is the Lord that, as has been preached, is with you. It is the Lord that worketh through you. It is the Lord. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And if that be so, I really don't deserve anything. But I'm not going to appreciate what God gives unless I see it in light of this parable that lets us see that this is more than just workers. This is just more than the owner of the field. This is just more than wages. This is more than just collecting and contracts. This is him showing us himself as the good man of the house who wants to show favor. All I want to do, the only reason why I'm here, is I want to show somebody favor. Is there somebody that doesn't feel like I owe them something? If there is, then I can give them some grace. And they can embrace it and enjoy it. Because the truth of the matter, even though there's so much work in this text, it is filled with his favor and it is filled with his grace. If they can see it and they can embrace it.
Amen.
Truth of the matter is, God's already given you more than you deserve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's everywhere all around you. But you're not receiving it and you're not rejoicing in it because to you, you're still looking at the contract. If we're going to enjoy this world of grace that Jesus is giving us in this parable, I want to mention three things. First of all, we're going to have to deal with and face this matter of the worth issue. The worth issue. It is here that Simon Peter wants to bargain with God, and it is here that these workers who came in first, they want to deal with the good man of the house. They're operating off the figures that they have and they suppose. They are calculating on what they feel like they ought to get out of what they have put in. But I'm here to tell you that if you're operating off of your worth, you're always going to feel last. It'll leave you feeling last. They set the price and they got the price they set. Now, this may be okay when you buy a car. But you don't want to bargain with grace. You may end up with what you're worth. I mean, God didn't cheat them out. They got what, I mean, look. Have you ever thought about what you're worth? That might cause you to rise up and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for my breath. Thank you for my life. Thank you, Lord, for who I am. Thank you, Lord, for camping. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you. I just got so I ain't worth nothing. You will cheat yourself in spirit, but not being able to enjoy what God wants to give you through faith. I've got a grandson, Jude, he may have just turned 7, I think, maybe. Anyway, he lost one of those baby teeth when he was 6 years old. I was talking to him on the phone. I said, now, Jude, I said, you hang on till I get there, and I'll bring you $10 for that tooth. He said, no, Daddy Dana, Tooth Fairy's going to give me my money. Well, it turned out he had a cheap Tooth Fairy. My son didn't know what I told him. He left him $3. So when I found out about it, I said, son, you need to come down to my house and lose a tooth. $10. You got a cheap Tooth Fairy at your house. But he didn't have mind enough to know that he was making a deal that was going to cost him $7. I wonder how you could live if you really knew how much God loves you and God favors you instead of what you thought you deserved. Always calculating, always figuring up, always bartering with God. I heard of a chemist in his studies of the human body. He said if the human body was turned into fertilizer, it would be worth approximately 57 cents. And that the reason why they don't do it is that the process would cost more than it was worth. And besides that, it's illegal because
of the diseases that develop in your body. They can't use it. In other words, when it's all over with, you're worth nothing. But I'm going to tell you something, short of the grace of God, you're still worth nothing. Amen. And let us see that this is not a matter of worth. You don't have to feel cheated. Let grace call you and then let grace cover you. And it'll always be more than enough. I'm going to tell you, he's been more than enough. He's always given me more than I was worth. I've got more than I'm worth. I'm too busy. I can't get no calculator and try to figure up. He's already given more, much more, abundant grace. Peter, you're telling me you want what you're worth? Aren't you glad for this world of grace? It's all around you right here. If you can see it, you can see that it's more than you're worth. I need some water on credit. Sermon turns out bad, I'll pay you back. I may not be worth it. Oh, what are you saying to Peter? Peter, get your mind off the figures, the calculations. You're going to end up feeling less. That's why he says that. Always have your pen out and say, well, you know, I've heard preachers do it. I preached 1,775. Why do you remember that?
Tell it, preacher.
Just preach.
Yeah.
Or I gave the Lord, and I'm counting on him. What? Have you thought about how much he's already given you? I don't think you can catch up with that. I just tell you right now, you wasn't worth Calvary. You wasn't worth what God, you wasn't worth it, but he did it anyway. Wasn't worth saving. You wasn't worth it. But you'll never feel last if you're operating off of favor. Because you'll know ever how much it is, it's more than I was worth. You're going to go around and say, well, I'm about being cheated. Do you see how much? I don't know what I'm going to get. I'll just, somebody check. Well, how much you get on your stuff? I'm not going to say how much I got. All I know is I got more than I was worth. If you ever enjoy the world of grace and faith, you'll have to deal with the worth issue. You're not worth it. But the second thing I would have you to notice is if you're ever going to enjoy this world of faith and grace and not operate off of some contract, you're going to have to deal with the works issue. The works issue. See, one deals with the figures, the other deals with the feelings. One is in the matter of that contract or the calculations that we get caught up in. But the other is in the matter of comparison, this work issue. Work issue. Now, it's found down through there. I don't need to read it to you again, but these that come last, they come to the good man of the house, and they say, well, what about those guys? What about the people you just paid? And they begin to compare the ones they thought got to be first.
that in turn made them last. Whereas they thought they should have been first and the others should have been last. I'm going to tell you something. Not only will this matter of your figures and your worth cause you to feel last, but your feelings and your works will always bring you to the place to where you feel less and last. Because you're always going to find somebody you thought got more than you should have had. Operating in his feelings, now within his feelings, he feels the need to compare, and then he feels the need to control, and then he ends up out of control. He's upset. He's mad. Now he's meddling in other people's business.
Well, don't you find yourself sometimes sitting around thinking, man, I can't believe what they've got. It makes you mad. When you're last and you feel like you ought to be first, it makes you mad. And you got all the figures to feel like you feel. Hey, look here, I worked from morning hour to 5 o'clock, and then it's been hot, and look at me, all the mess. I mean, I'm here to tell you I got a right to be first.
Go ahead, preacher. Go ahead, you're helping us, preacher.
Check my hours. He's wanting to control the poor souls that came in last. And cheat them out of the blessing, of the favor, of the owner. The good man of the house wants to be good to those that were last and make them first. He's upset. That's the same attitude of the elder brother. The elder brother's never going to be happy in heaven until his brother goes to hell. He's mad. He said, Dad, have you noticed how I've never disobeyed you? And I've worked out in the field and everything, and you never throw me no party? He said, Son, have you not seen my favor? You're my son, and everything I've got's yours. If you want a party, throw it.
Amen.
What he wanted to say was, the reason why I didn't throw you a party is nobody come. If you're sitting around feeling like you're last, you're sitting around feeling like you're the black sheep in the family. You feel like you're the middle child. You ever hear that? You feel like, I'm going to tell you, I'm doing everything and they're doing nothing and they're getting all the credit. Well, you just need to stop. And you need to realize how much favor has been shown your way. This old boy never was last, but he's feeling last.
Amen.
He's not last monetarily. He paid him the same.
Amen.
He's not last physically because he's able to do the job. He's not last mentally for sure because he can calculate the hours and the money. He's not last personally because he's the first one that was picked to come and work on the job. But now here he is operating under that contract and not a covenant. He's crying out, it ain't fair. I'm going to tell you, when you cry out, it ain't fair, it's because you're not operating under favor and grace.
You're going to have to deal with that work issue.
Well, I'll tell you, I studied twice as much as that preacher does, and he preaches him every year. Do you know how much time we put into singing? And we sung two songs.
Well, I can't wait until I get to heaven. I'm telling you, I'm as much as I've preached and traveled and everything, can you just imagine?
I ain't going to imagine, because, honey, I've already figured, as I've said, I've got more than I've worked for. I've been given more than I ever done. God has paid already. He's paid already in full. He's favored me. If he never does another thing for me, he's already done more than I could ever imagine.
I wonder if we even know what fair means. Is what's fair to you fair to everybody else? Or fair at all? Is it fair to judge those that came in last? Do you know why they came in last? Are you willing to step into their shoes and then find out the causes for where they're at? That guy waiting out there last probably couldn't get there first. It may have been he's got a wife that's sick. May have just come from a funeral and buried somebody. Or had to go to the doctor and got some kind of illness. You want to find that out before you get this matter of fairness all straightened out? I'm just going to tell you right up front, anyhow, if you're looking for God to be fair, you're going to be mad. The Father wasn't fair. He didn't plan on being fair because, honey, he's a father of favor. He's not going to neglect that other son that's been in the far country, wasted everything because of how that elder brother feels about it on the scoreboard. If it had been fair, if God had been fair, his son wouldn't went to that cross. He'd have let you die and went to hell. You'd have walked right off into hell. I'm glad he ain't fair with me. I got to reading that Old Testament again this year. That's tough. You see all them laws out there? And how many people died because of them? Poor boy went out and picked up a stick on Sunday. And they killed him. One old boy sassed his daddy. They killed him. A group got together and stood against the preacher, and they all went to hell. I mean, I got to reading all that, and I stopped for a moment. I said, Lord, all them laws and regulations, I don't believe I'd have made it. You know what he said? No, you wouldn't have. He said, boy, what you don't understand is everybody got through there, got through my grace and my favor, and it's still my grace and my favor. When I saw that old boy, he's stoned because of what he did on the Sabbath, I said, God, I'm glad you ain't fair. Yeah. I'd be pretty well in trouble if God was keeping the scorecard. Oh, the world of favor and grace will cause you to have to deal with this matter of worth and this matter of works. This matter of calculations and comparisons making you feel last. I don't want to feel last. For these old boys, it's about the minutes now. It's about the money. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get in that shape, you'll be screaming equal rights, civil rights, my rights. That's what they're cultivating in America right now. Let all these different groups cry out, it ain't fair. Let's even the score. And it's terrible to be in that condition.
Yes, it is.
No matter who you are, where you're at, no matter who your boss is, how much you're paid, you'll still want others to be last so you can be first. And no matter how much it is, you'll still cry out, it ain't fair. But oh, what favor. So you're going to have to deal with this worth issue, this works issue. And truth of the matter is, don't we all have to deal with that? But lastly, I would say to you, if you're going to be able to step off into this parable, this world of favor and grace coming from the good man of the house, you're going to have to deal with the will issue. The will issue.
Yes, sir.
What you got to understand is who's in charge anyhow.
Amen.
Did you notice that in the text? Huh? He said in verse number 13, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that it is thine and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do as I will? The thing we need to understand, if you're going to really enjoy the favor of God, it doesn't mean he's not favoring you. It's all around there. I can see it in people's lives that are grumbling all the time. He's favoring them and he's blessing them. The world is full of his favor. But honey, you won't be able to enjoy it and experience it until you realize that this is not about you and about others. It's about him and his will. He's the one that willed it all. He said, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know what? He's still doing what he wants to do. It is his will, not our feelings, not our figures, but his favor. Not the calculations and the controls, but his compassion. I notice that he gives no reason for his actions. Because grace never has a reason. Search the scriptures and find the reason. You can't. Can't be explained. No explanation. He doesn't even say why. It's not because they're kinfolk or somebody they've known for a while. No, the only answer is it was his favor and that's what he wanted to do. That's the blessings of grace. His will shows us the signs of grace are everywhere. If you can see it. Truth of the matter is, there's nobody last in grace. Because there's no numbers in grace. Huh? Aren't you glad of that? Nobody, you don't have to worry about being second. There is no second in grace. That spirit of grace is everywhere. The surprise of grace is everywhere. Look at those guys going out of there with that money in their pocket, not realizing they were going to get that much. The first and last has nothing to do with hiring, timing, laboring, paying, and order. It has everything to do with grace. Now understand this. The good thing about grace is it has no figures in it. There are no calculations to it. It's very simple. It's just his will. To love you and save you and bless you and take you to heaven and give you a home. You don't try to figure anything up on that, are you? Huh? Now, I've preached enough here for you to know how I was raised, so I don't want to get into that. But I'm going to tell you something. I was raised on the bottom. Drunkenness and poverty and all those other things. I was the last child born. I was raised to where there was no value. Lying was lying only if you got caught. Stealing was stealing if you only got caught. I'll tell you, if there was a last, when I got around those that had something, if they didn't know it, I'd lie about what I had because I didn't want to feel last. And one day, the Lord showed up. And I was all the way in the back of the line. Sure for hell as if I was born. And he saved me and he said, come up here. I want you up here. I said, Lord, you don't know where I've come from. Or he said, I do. But I want you up here with me.
Amen.
You're talking about feeling first. That tip depends a lot on who you're hanging around. He said, no, he didn't say that. I'm gonna make you second, third. No, he said, I want you all the way up here with me.
Amen.
Said, matter of fact, you won't go nowhere where I won't go with you.
Amen.
And I'm going to go with you anywhere you go.
Amen.
I'm telling you the honest truth. For the first time in my life, I felt like I was first.
Yes.
Now, I wasn't calculating. I just thought, man, I can't believe he loved me. You mean you died for me? He said, I sure did. You love me, I sure did. You got me home in heaven, he said, I sure have. Come on up here. He brought me to the front of the line. I'm going to tell you something. If you've been saved by grace, you always feel like you're in the front of the line. For 52 years, I've been feeling like I was in the front of the line. No calculation, no measuring. Grace brought me up to the table. Said you don't ever have to feel last again. Grace will keep you feeling as though you're at the table. I started going to that little storefront church. They said, why don't you sing in the choir? Man, I felt like I was first. And then they said, why don't you teach a Sunday school? I said, man, I can't believe this. And then they said, well, how about preaching for us? I said, wow. Brother Steve said to me one day, you want to preach at the camp? No, he don't ask. He said, you come preach for me. I said, Lord, how'd that happen? He said, I told you you were first. I've been telling you all along. And making me first doesn't make me think somebody else is second. Good thing about it is, everywhere I look, I see first.
Amen.
Huh? That dear sister is skipping through here the last few services praising God, I think, from Brother Doug's church. Yeah. She looks like she thinks she's first. Yeah. Woo! I'm in the hell of the line. Woo! Yeah. But she ain't looking down on anybody else. She's looking around thanking God. We're all first. I mean, last night, how many people was dropping up a shouting? Not because you were figuring.
figuring and calculating because you knew you were on a covenant of grace. Whoa! I'm first! And in grace, there'll be no last. There'll be no second. There'll be no third. We're first!
Songwriter said it well. He said, I feel like I'm his only child. Now, I don't feel no better than anyone else. I still feel least. I don't feel like I'm worth anymore. I still feel least. But, oh, I feel favored. Because God is good. When the Lord saved me, he saved me during the time of revival. I'm being honest with you. For 2 years, I knew there was a devil because I'd been reading my Bible through, but I just hadn't run into him. He kept me in that spirit of his arms for two. I still preach out of that. Now, after those 2 years, I found out he's a devil, believe me. But for those 2 years, he just... And you know what I felt like for 2 years? I felt like that sheep on the shepherd's shoulder. I thought I was the only sheep he had. I felt like that baby in the mama's arms. I felt like it's the only child mama had. I thought it was just me and the Lord. Anywhere and everywhere. I felt favored. And I'll tell you something. It'll keep you from being mad. I'll tell you why they got so many down there at that church down the road. I'll tell you what they're probably doing. Something.
Yeah.
Well, why are you worried about that?
Yeah.
Just haul off and thank God for what you got.
Right.
You got more than you deserve. And if you, I'm going to tell you something. There's some mad here and there's some glad. Because I'm going to tell you, those first boys went back to the house and said, look, Mama, look what I got. He said, well, didn't you just get, you didn't go in at 5 o'clock? He said, I know it. But look what I got. We're going to be able to feed the islands this week. That'll be enough to make a payment. So then, well, you must have worked harder. No, I didn't. So, well, what did he tell you when you come in? He didn't say nothing. He just said, go and I'll give you what's right. And I didn't argue with him. I said, oh, you know what's right, so I'll just do what you tell me to do. And favor has kept me in that attitude. Look, Mama. Look, Mama. Matter of fact, unless you want to operate on the contract, he'll never tell you the fullness of what you're going to get. Because he wants you to be surprised. And Lord, for 52 years, I've lived in a world of surprises that's kept me from getting mad. Because I found out I was working in his favor. You know that elder brother, and I close, he didn't have to be mad. it wasn't for those figures, feelings, he wouldn't have been mad. But I was just thinking for the reasons why he ought to have been glad. And these boys ought to have been glad. And if I had time, I don't. I preach on I'm glad I'm not mad. If I was in that elder brother's place, now I'm not saying I would be, but I'm telling you, if I was operating under grace, this is how I'd operate. Man, I'd be right in the middle of the party. Say, hey, ain't you upset about that? But no, I'm not mad. I'm glad. They said, well, why are you glad? I'm glad I'm home. Amen. I ain't never been gone.
Amen.
I've never been alone. I'm glad. He never had to experience what that old boy experienced. Huh? I ain't mad. I'm glad. I'm glad I'm home, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not only glad I'm home, I'm shouting because he's home. And I'm glad I belong. That's why I'm going in on the party. I'm a part of it. Man, he could have had a time. It was all his. Hey, I didn't minimize what was his. It minimized what he knew was his and what he could experience was his. Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you a short story. And this is what your figures will bring. If that's how you want to live your life, this is what the figure is going to bring you to. But I want to show you how to live your life in faith on a different level. Have you found yourself in there?